all up in a back in a it's winter chicken dinner. Welcome back to
Wee-wee dinner.
I was finna say, but I had to rev it up first. You know, you got to warm it up before you get all up in it like a wee-wee dinner. I got to find that video. That shit was funny. Whoever that dude is on TikTok. This old ass dude with four gold teeth in the front. All up in it like a wee-wee dinner.
But to be fair, he wasn't that old. He looked like he might have been, what, 40, 50 maybe?
But still. Yeah. You 45, 50 and on TikTok. On TikTok. All up in it like a wee-wee dinner. I think it's funny, but then I'm like, whoa. Now, real quick. Hey, everybody, we here. Because I was going to go off on a tangent record, but let me do some housekeeping. What's up, man? Welcome back to another episode of Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, and we getting down, stand down. Giving y'all this information to help free your mind. That's what we do. Media designed to free your mind right here at the Freedom Train Podcast series. Remember, visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Check out our sponsor, PACTS Inc. at PACTSINC, giving you a lot of information to help the Black community improve as individuals and as a whole. That's PACTSINC.org. And we back. Appreciate everybody rocking with us on our latest venture as we go more and more and more into the world of sex, talk more about sex and explore the realms of safe sex and pleasurable sex and just what is sex. That's what we're learning because we're on this journey. We want to be some of the greatest sexual practitioners in the history of practitioning. And we want to make sure. But now, seriously, though, Pat and I work with a lot of young people. I do HIV/AIDS prevention. Pat does a lot of education with kids in the homeschooling group that he has, and he does track and field, and he does mentoring with kids, and I do a lot of that as well. Well, not the track and field, but mentoring with kids, community work with kids, but especially in my HIV/AIDS. And what kind of sparked today's topic is just overall, not a lot of people are getting information about sex and sexuality. I live in a college town, and you have a lot of people who are coming to college who are not prepared to have sex, but are wanting to have sex and not even aware of the consequences, the negative consequences that can come with having sex. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a lot of people have a lot of questions that to them, it seems hard to find the answer to. But for us, you know, just a simple Google search. But you can't trust everybody's information. But at the same time, we also understand how strong narratives are in people's surroundings and their environments, and the people who are in those environments, your social circle has a great impact on you. You know what I'm saying? So parents, y'all sending y'all kids to college. Y'all kids don't know shit about sex, but you don't want them to bring home diseases in kids, but they don't know shit about sex. Parents, that's the same thing as putting your kids in the driver's seat on the interstate and telling your child to drive 75 miles an hour or more on the interstate and don't crash. And you ain't teach them shit about driving. Now, when I put that analogy together, that sounds crazy. But when I say don't send your kids to college without information on sex and sexuality and safe sex, I ain't ready for that. All right, be ready when you get the phone call and your child come to call you, telling you something that you don't want to hear. So we want to help avoid that. But so today, like specific, that's overall what we're doing to combat overall. That's why we're talking about sex. So I know a lot of y'all think we just nasty. Yes, that's a part of it. Yes, we are. Okay. Yes. Part of it is we like talking about sex. I don't give a damn, all up in like a wee-wee dinner. Yep. That's why you're going to keep getting these sex songs that we got and all these things. There's a method to the madness. We talk about it the way we talk about it, but overall, you will be informed, educated, and equipped with information you can immediately use to improve yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So today we covering tough sexual conversations or helping people get over the inability to negotiate safe sex or safer sexual situations or even more pleasurable sexual situations. Because a lot of questions I get when I'm doing HIV tests and I'm asking somebody, hey, have you ever had sex with somebody who's HIV positive? They're like, I don't know. Do you ask the question? No. Well, why not? Because I don't know how to ask that question. Or asking a woman, have you ever had sex with a man that had sex with other men? She's like, I don't know. I don't know how to ask that question. Because the way society set it up, it's easy for a guy to ask a girl, has she had sex with another girl? Because he actually want to have sex with two girls.
Mm.
But women aren't equipped to ask men, have they had sex with other men? And a lot of these things are seen as embarrassing. So I've been doing a lot of talking. Pat, what are some of the things that you've seen with a lot of the kids or even just people you've encountered who are having trouble just even talking about sex with their partners? Let's just start their basic stuff, just talking about sex with their partners.
I mean, just like, but again, we go back to just basic stuff, right? Like, people are nervous about talking to their partner about things that they do in bed that they don't like. And we all know that everybody running around acting like they got on their big grown up drawers.
Everybody good
like
in bed.
They have these conversations, but they don't.
And according to the internet, everybody good in bed.
Right. So, you know, having conversations about what's a good position, what's not a good position, like what's your favorite position, how do you like your oral? You know what I'm saying? Right. Having conversations about things like that, like in a marriage, like being willing to introduce toys. There are a lot of people uncomfortable with that. We've been talking about it for the last few sex shows anyways, but the introduction of lube
is
a conversation that seems to be difficult for people to have. It's in the same vein as that conversation. Cause, and I know some people are going to listen to this and they're going to be like, yo, that's, who doesn't talk about lube? And I would say it's the same people that are getting older and look down at their vagina and see gray pubic hairs and they're like, oh my God, nobody ever told me my pubic hairs was going to turn gray.
I mean, everybody.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah, but yeah, if you don't know your pubes turn gray. Hey, look. Hey, men and women. And whatever you identify as, your pubes are going to turn gray, just like the hair on top of your head. Because guess what? It's connected to your body. Duh. But I mean, like, shit, what was I going to say? The pubes threw me off. I forgot what you said before the pubes. That threw me off.
I was talking about people talking about introducing lube and new things into the bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, it's... So, people ask these questions. Well, why would somebody have a problem with this? Why would this be difficult for somebody to talk about? So, let's just get real, because we have to study the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're in the South, and we repeatedly say this, we're in the Bible Belt South. We're in the conservative part of America. This is the when you hear them say wee-haw, America, that's where we are. So we're in a part of America where we have sex, but we don't talk about sex. So that's why I opened up the show talking about the parents who are sending their kids to college who have never talked about sex. So people aren't talking about sex. So you meet somebody who may like to have sex, but have never been comfortable talking about sex because they never had conversations about sex. All they did was lay down and had sex. That's different. Hey, let's use this lubricant, because a lot of women get offended when lubricant is introduced. So
it's hard to get all up in there like a wee wee dinner if ain't no grease.
Ain't no grease. And we ain't cooking. Like Andre, like, man, make sure it's wet enough to enter, like 3000 said, right?
But yeah, I mean, but that's one of the things. I think up north and out west, they do talk about it more. But, you know, I've bumped into my fair share of prudes from both of those areas, and I've bumped into my fair share of ignorance from both of those areas. Because it's one thing for two adults in a relationship to be having conversations about sex. And we know that's usually surface level. And we talked about this before with the amount of guys that have never had good sex. but have never had a conversation with a female about how her sex game is whack. They just tolerate bad sex. That's one thing. But then if you introduce the dynamic of talking to children about sex.
But see, just the idea of it's okay to tolerate bad sex is off.
It is.
That's off because that's right there is exactly what we're talking about here. That's a breakdown in communication between you and your partner, because sex, if we are effectively communicating, which means I'm speaking, you are listening to understand, you are speaking, I'm listening to understand, we understand what each other say, and then we move on those actions that will communicate. That should be communication, right? So if that's not happening, the sex is going to be bad.
Yeah, but so one of the things that needs to happen, though, is people, because it's one thing for two mature adults to have this conversation.
That's it, though. Mature. You have to be. If you are not mature, you should not be having sex.
But that's not the case.
I understand. So
if we're going to talk about having hard conversations, like, because two mature people don't need this show.
Right. Two mature people don't need the show because two mature people have already put themselves made a comfortable enough environment to have these hard conversations. So this show is for people who need help getting there. This show is for people who haven't reached that point of sexual maturity where they themselves can talk and their partner is mature enough to talk about it. And that way they can get in alignment with each other sexually and be able to please each other. Because if we can't talk, we can't negotiate nothing, what are we doing?
Right. But that's the thing, though. It's a lot of sexually immature people in the world because society, especially in America, society does not groom people to be sexually mature. So
Right.
When it comes to having... Because if we're being honest, a conversation about sex should not be complicated or uncomfortable.
So,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Now, finish what you're saying.
Go ahead.
Because I was just going to give an example. I talk about this a lot, about how like examples of what we think sexual maturity is in America, right? Mm. So, child stars. Because I think child stars are a good example because we can see them mature rather than somebody behind the scenes. So let's take the latest example. And so let me preface by saying this. When I'm saying this is not me taking a shot at Chloe Bailey. This is not nothing that Chloe Bailey is doing anything wrong. This, to me, we're talking about the society as a whole. This is what society says sexual maturity is. So when we first see Chloe and her sister, cute, they just, you see them as cute little girls who signed to Beyonce. We expect them to mature. We expect them to grow into grown women. We expect them to come into their sexuality. But the idea of a woman coming into her womanhood is her being sexual. Sexuality has a part to do with womanhood, but sexuality isn't the totality of womanhood. But also, It's presented to us as, okay, I'm a grown woman because I'm sexy now. And look at me being sexy and look at me showing my body parts. And there's nothing wrong with being sexy, but they act like that in itself is what sexual maturity is. And it's not, it's like you can't put sexual maturity in the box. You can't just, that's why I tell people, stop seeing your kids in front of TV all day, right? Stop sitting mm-hmm. your kids in front of these screens all day. Because you can't, Hollywood gonna do what they're gonna do to make money. You the one got to keep your kids in front of it. But we've seen it not just, and like I said, it's not just with Chloe Bailey, Jessica Simpson, Britney Spears, all the young women, Beyonce, all the young women who started off as young child stars and grew up into womanhood in front of our eyes. It's like when the clothes got shorter, that's when people started recognizing them as a grown woman and an adult. Like, damn, so if she would have been conservative, she wouldn't be in a grown woman, she wouldn't be an adult, she can't be sexy with that. It's like, sexy and sexuality is short clothes, skimpy, and being ultra sexy at the same time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because we define sexiness as the ability to make how much do you make people want to have sex with you? And in the absence of any real aura or allure, show skin.
Right.
It's like it's become a cheat code in a society where everything is sexualized. Skin is always sexualized. So
right.
We're in this environment where people are getting into sexual relationships without ever having had a conversation about sex. I mean, we know adults, 30, 40 years old. I know some that are 50, 60 years old with grandkids that if you say penis or vagina around them, they can't stop giggling.
Right.
That's not somebody that's having a... That's not somebody that's having sexual conversations with their kids or their grandkids.
Yeah. Because there are adults that I come across who you can't say penis or vagina or coochie or coochie hair or something like that. They start, they grown, they in their 40s and 50s, got kids, and they still laugh like they're in middle school. It's like, for real?
And then you have, it's almost become cool as an adult to not talk about sex. When you get into your 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and people start having these conversations.
I don't talk about that stuff.
Right. You hear it a lot now. Nobody want to talk about that.
Yeah, but it's like, but that's why, like, that's why you're going back to what I started with. That's why your children are leaving the house sexually immature, sexually ignorant, and going out into this world and getting taken advantage of. Like, and what I see young black gay males coming to college, and they come to college as virgins, and by the time they graduate, they're HIV positive. See young black women coming to college. Coming to college as virgins, by the time they leave, they baby mamas. Some of them may be HIV positive. Their life is drastically altered because they had no kind of sexual education. They knew nothing, and they tried to learn on the fly from somebody who was taking advantage of them, or even from their peer group who had no idea either because nobody talked to them. So you want a bunch of, you're sending your kids out in the world to put them around a bunch of people who have no idea what they're talking about. And these people are seen as the authority on sex. And so you wonder why people can't have simple conversations with their partner about sex, because nobody ever made it comfortable to talk about sex. Nobody ever made it normal to talk about sex. Sex should be a normal conversation. You should be able to talk to your partner about sex. Normalize talking about sex. Everybody want to normalize everything. You can't be cool with putting a penis or a clit in your mouth or even a booty hole in your mouth, but you can't talk about sex.
But and it's even more interesting than that is now, well, not more interesting, but just as interesting to me is now you see videos, like there are YouTube videos popping up of parents or children or adults talking about sex with their parents. And then in the comment sections, you just have like a flood of comments of people like, I could never talk to my mom or dad about this. Or where are the boundaries? Where is right. this? Where I can't believe that we're crossing this line. And it's like, this line shouldn't even exist. Like, if there's one other person that you should be able to talk to about sex, it should be your parents, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, like education starts at home. All education starts at home. If you can't have a conversation with your parents about sex, if you can't even witness your parents, if your parents can't have a conversation between themselves about sex, they're not going to be able to talk to their child about sex. Therefore, their child not going to be able to effectively communicate their needs to their partner. Because once again, going back to why people are having bad sex, why people don't want to have sex, why stuff ain't working out, people have an inability to communicate their needs.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, like, it's like there, I was watching something and the lady was like, she masturbated. No, what it was? What was it? I don't know what it was, but the lady finally did this, discover herself later in life for like the first time or whatever it was. And so she wasn't having orgasms, she wasn't having good sex. All the men she was meeting, she was just laying on her back, just taking in and stuff like that, until she finally came across some information to learn how to discover herself. She finally spent time discovering herself and learning herself. So once she figured out what made her orgasm, she could then communicate it with the dudes that she was messing with. So later in life, her sexual experiences got better, but it took 30, 40 years.
Right. But see, and there are two things you hit on. One is modeling. I don't think we really pay enough attention to modeling as parents. Modeling is huge because we all know it's not so much the lessons that you verbalize with your kids. It's the life you live that teaches most of the lessons. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's called modeling. Kids model what they see. So if they never see mom or dad having a conversation about sex, and on top of that, there's never a direct conversation with them about sex, they don't know how to talk about sex.
They will never know.
But then the other problem is, even when it comes to masturbation is even more taboo than sex conversations, because parents do not talk to their kids about masturbation. And the one of the primary benefits of masturbation, in my opinion, is being able to learn yourself. To learn what you like and what you don't like, so that you can communicate that to your partners to get better sex. If you're not telling the kid to explore and to masturbate, and I'm not saying you have to tell them to do it directly, but if they're never even given that message and they don't figure it out,
they need to know that it's okay to masturbate.
Right.
They need to know that it's okay to explore themselves sexually, but they also need to know that it's okay to have a open line of communication with their parents or whatever parental figure or whatever figure. They need to have an open line of communication so they can explore that in a healthy manner. So when they do start having sex, you can make sure that they're making good decisions. Good sex make bad choices.
It does.
And you have to do your best to equip your children enough so when they're in a space and they come across somebody who's putting it on them, if the dude, he getting rolled to sleep, you know, a girl getting her back blew to that. You got to be able to, you want some type of sexual maturity in that situation so you can at least you've equipped them enough to make the best decisions. Whether they make the best decisions or not, hey, that ain't your problem from there. But at least you've equipped them. Like, at least give the children the tools to have a healthy sex life, to have healthy relationships, period. So when they do start having sex and when they get older in life, they won't be having so many bad sexual experiences. They won't have such a hard time talking about sex. Because that's the main thing here. People can't, like I say, if a woman wants to know if a man has slept with another man, she feels embarrassed to ask him, have you ever slept with another man? So now people ask me that all the time. Well, how do I ask them that? And, you know, one of my main things is telling them, well, you know, you do have to be direct, but there are tactical ways to do it. But I think you could create a calming atmosphere, or you can create an atmosphere, kind of set it up to where, like, hey, I need to talk to you and we need to have a serious conversation. And kind of set the premise, because I know a lot of guys may think that the woman is taking a shot at his masculinity or his sexual orientation asking that question. But it's a valid question. Have you ever had sex with another man? That's a valid question. And I understand some women may fear for their safety. So me being a man, never been in that situation, I can't tell them that, hey, don't feel fear. I can't tell you that. But what I can say is do your best to set the environment of your conversations to where both of you understand that we're going to be having tough conversations at times. We're going to be talking about certain things about sex that may be taboo. So you want to start putting those things up front. Seeing the or testing the emotion or the maturity of the person that you're talking to. Because in the beginning, if I'm telling you from the beginning, when we first, before we have sex, if I'm telling you from the beginning that, hey, there are certain conversations that we're going to need to have, there are going to be certain tough conversations. I like to have frequent conversations to make sure we're on the same page with things. And you see that the person is kind of resistant to some conversations, then you know they're going to be resistant to those conversations. So that might not be the person you want to have sex with. Like, have conversations, have important conversations with a person before you have sex with them. Because after you have sex, it may make it more difficult for you to have those important conversations.
No, it's absolutely going to make it more difficult. Whether they're good or bad in bed, it's going to make it more difficult to have those conversations because sex is a glue. It's right. Designed to hold people together. And bad sex is designed to push people apart. Sign of lack of compatibility or lack of desire. So it's absolutely going to make it, and good sex is going to make you not want to ask because you don't want the wrong information. You just want to stay in your state of bliss. Right. But I think one of the things you shared was important. Like, so if I were giving this advice to my daughter or my sister or a young girl that I'm mentoring, I would, exactly what you said, absolutely, you need to be worried. I'm not going to ever tell a woman, especially in the world we live in nowadays, to not feel fear when approaching certain conversations right. with a man.
Right.
But what I will say is, just like you said, try to set it up in a way where contextually he doesn't feel like you're leading anywhere, right. where he doesn't feel like you're accusing him of anything. But then beyond that, if he can't have that conversation, that's not somebody you need to be with.
Because you got to test the water. You have to test the waters. You have to make sure. You have to gauge the sexual maturity of the person before you lay down with them. Absolutely. Can we have certain conversations? Are you up to having certain conversations? What's your aptitude in this? Because if we're just having a general conversation about sex, and it's difficult to get basic information out of you, like, how do you like sex? What's your favorite sexual position? If you can't articulate stuff like that, we might not be able to have sex. If you can't tell me the last time you've been tested, you can't tell me when your favorite condom or certain things like that, or why you like to do this or why you like that. If you can't tell me those things, we can't have sex. We shouldn't be having sex.
Absolutely. And especially in the world where, because I have heard a lot of women are concerned with having conversations with men about right. certain things. They're scared to voice concerns about a lack of performance issues. They're scared to voice concerns about sexual history, about getting tested. I know women that are scared to tell their husbands that they want them to start wearing a condom.
Right.
So
right.
In these situations, you look at it and you say, okay, you're putting yourself in harm's way because you're worried about another person's response.
Right. Right.
How valid are your concerns?
Well, right. But also, that's why I go back to thinking that a true open line of communication was not really set. It was a perceived open line of communication, but it wasn't a true open line of communication, because if it was a true open line of communication, it wouldn't be fear, or the fear would be minimized to have the conversation. Something basic is, hey, I think we need to start using condoms because of this. You know, so they were just having sex. They established a relationship off of something, but true, real communication, authentic communication, authentic openness, that wasn't what it was. And so people really, before you start having sex, before you get serious with people, can you really have a real conversation? Now, and the thing is, it's not about whether you two agree or disagree in the conversation.
Right.
It's not about that, but can you have the conversation? So I No, luckily I'm getting to know a young lady who we can talk. We can have conversations. We can talk. Hell, I ask questions and we can talk. Do we agree on everything? Hell no, but we can talk.
And I think that's the thing, right? Because a lot of people, so even when it comes down to having tough conversations about sex, the fact of the matter is you need to be confident enough and comfortable enough in yourself to have the conversation. But you
Right.
also need to be confident, or you need to be confident and comfortable enough to be able to speak your mind. But you also need to be confident and comfortable enough to be able to hear what the other person has to say.
Right.
And the entire conversation has to be kind of contextualized or structured in a way that isn't offensive or egregious or leading. And that's the thing that I think is missed in a lot of the conversations. People are like, well, I'm willing to have a conversation, but they're not willing to listen. Or you have a lot of people that say, well, you know, she can give it, but she can't take it. That's a maturity issue if you're with somebody that can dish it out, but can't
Right.
take it back.
Right. But also, you knew that before you made it official.
Hopefully you did if you were
Cause,
doing your due diligence.
well, because I imagine you all were interacting with each other.
But you know, interactions nowadays are so shallow and superficial. I mean, everything is surface level nowadays. Again, this show is based off of us having conversations with people that don't know how to have deep conversations.
Right. But that get back to what I'm saying. From the beginning, nothing was established from the because certain people show certain traits from the beginning. And some traits are covered, but the more time you spend around the person, the more they start to show themselves, the more they get comfortable, the more they get relaxed. And then especially in certain conversations that you have with a person, whether they putting on or not, they put that representative to the side, because they want, especially if it's a conversation when they want to win, they're gonna put that representative to the side. So they're gonna be cracks in the armor. But the question is, are you paying attention when there are cracks in the armor? And if you're not paying attention, yes, you're gonna miss it. But
I think one of the things that people got to keep in mind, I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind, though, too, is that when a lot of people find themselves in these bad situations, they're younger. They haven't even really been taught to identify what a red flag is.
right.
They've heard the phrase, but they don't know what it is because they don't know what's a disqualifier for them. Because they haven't done the self-assessments to figure out, okay, I can't deal with a person that's like this, or I can't deal with somebody that has this belief, or I can't deal with somebody that moves this way. And so in those situations, in the absence of modeling, in the absence of direct conversations with more experienced individuals, they don't know what they don't know, and they can't ask what they don't know.
Right. I agree, but I agree, but it's and not saying what I'm saying as to disqualify any of that, but it's still a factor.
It is. It absolutely is a factor. But that's one of the things, like, even with shows, and there are a lot of shows talking about things to look for, and we laugh at them, and we always be like, that ain't for me. But in the back of my mind, anyways, I know I'm always aware that, well, that's not for me. I'm
Right.
not a teenager or somebody that's in their 20s or early 30s. I'm somebody that is a little bit more experienced. I know what to look for, but there are a lot of people coming up behind me. I interact with them daily, these kids, high school age, middle school age, and I'll go back to that because as a parent, if you're not talking to your kid about sex by middle school, you are already behind the curve.
Yeah, but once education starts at home, parents must talk to their kids about sex. And parents, if you are not equipped to talk to your kids about sex, you can find people like myself and other health sexual health educators who can talk to your kids, but you can also put yourself in a position to go and learn how to better talk to your children about sex. You can't just keep putting it off and making excuses. Like, this is real life. Your children are going to have sex, and you want your children to have healthy sexual experiences. People are having bad sexual experience, horrible sexual experience, experiencing so many different things you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, and I mean, because you got parents out there that, and this, the beliefs out there are amazing. Because I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago that was like, they don't let their middle school age child, they caution them against masturbation because they fear it can lead to sex. And my thing is, you know what leads to sex?
Off of what? Based off of what?
They don't have no basis. That's just what they think. It's one of those quote unquote common sense things, allegedly.
How the fuck is it common sense and ain't backed up by nothing? People, so what about the people who have sex who never masturbate?
Well, my response to this person was, you know what leads to somebody having sex? The desire to have sex. And you stopping your child from masturbating is not going to eliminate
the desire to have sex. Yeah, it's in them. So what was their response?
Their response was, maybe, but I just don't want to encourage it.
So how do you stop me? How do you stop your child from masturbating?
That's a good question. Because outside of having them constantly in your presence.
So what you gonna every time they in the room, you're gonna be in the room with them, every time in the bathroom, you're gonna be in there with them?
I think this parent was just saying that they talk down on it, they discourage it. But my point, even with talking to them, was, yeah, but now you have a child who is sexually naive, sexually repressed, and doesn't have any clue about anything. So they're going to get out here, get ran through.
And have a negative view. You're going to have a child who's starting off with a negative view about sex and sexuality for their own, for themselves. Your child would never explore themselves because your dumb ass is afraid that your child is going to do something that they already going to do. Adults, get over yourselves. Get over yourselves, parents. Get over yourself. Remember how you was having sex when your parents weren't ready or your parents didn't know all that? It's not changing because you're a parent. Get over yourselves. Your child is going to have sex. The best thing you can do is prepare them to have safe sex. That parent telling that child not to masturbate is doing nothing but helping to repress them sexually as far as exploring themselves. But guess what? When somebody blow their back out, it's over. When somebody lick that coochie right or suck that meat right, it's over.
But we see it developing early with babies. Like, I got four kids. All four of them went, and it's well documented, well known. You don't have to have babies to be aware of this, but all babies, toddlers go through a period where they like to touch themselves.
Yeah.
Right? They all do. It's a natural part of exploring their bodies. In our community, that's frowned upon.
Yeah.
You have parents grabbing their kids, slapping their hands, telling them to stop doing this, don't do. You're already right. That girl gonna grow up fast. This, that, and the third. You're already instilling a shame of their body into them. Right. A belief that this one area of my body is attached to me. I can't remove it. It's off limits.
It's bad to me. Touch. Yeah. It's horrible to touch this part of your body. You shouldn't touch it, but other people can touch it. Think about that logic, Pat. Think about that line of thought, because that's basically what they're telling them. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't touch this, but when you get married, somebody else can touch it. But it's mine. And you wonder why people have problems having conversations about sex when they're adults. Or the child explores sexuality on their own and go through bumps and bruises that they didn't have to go through because they knew they couldn't talk to their parent about sex.
And that's the other part about the baby thing, is not only are you teaching the child that it's not good for me to explore my own body. But you're also, in those instances, because of the response, teaching the child that it's not okay for me to talk to you
about sex either. Right. I'm not ready. I can't do this. I'm not ready. Okay. I'm not going to talk to you. So I'm going to talk to dumbass Tony down the street or a stupid ass Sharika down the street who don't know nothing. And I'm talking to them because they got kids or they having sex. There's always some kids who having sex, everybody know having sex, and they become the sexual educators.
And the fact of the matter is, if you're not prepared to talk to your kids about sex, you're not prepared to have sex. You should not be having kids if you're not ready to talk to them about sex.
If you, across the board, what parent or not, if you can't talk about sex, if the conversation of sex in any way is uneasy, you're not mature enough to be having sex. Now, that doesn't mean you're not biologically equipped to have sex. That means you're not mature enough to be having sex. And you could possibly put yourself in a position to where you endanger yourself or you compromise your health because you just looking for a feeling and you really don't understand the mechanics and everything that go to having sex. Can't just be out there all willy-nilly.
But that's where I say we got to divorce age from age and biology from maturity, because a lot of people say, you know what, 35, I would hope they would be blah, blah. And that's not necessarily true. And like you said, just because you're equipped biologically to do something doesn't mean that mentally you're prepared to do it. There are girls out there that 9, 10, 11 years old can have babies.
Yeah.
But we know that they're not mentally prepared to be a mother at that age. So we don't let them have sex. There's no difference between that 12-year-old girl and that 22-year-old girl, except 10 years. But that doesn't mean that in that 10-year span, she's acquired the level of maturity necessary to have safe, productive conversations and to successfully raise a child.
Right, she just has the biological functions because she's old enough.
Right, her
body's gone through puberty. But
So the first thing I would say is, if you're struggling with having conversations about sex, you probably shouldn't be having sex.
That ain't no probably. Your ass should not be having sex if you struggle with the conversation. If you struggle with the thought, you struggle with, if you have difficulties just existing in the realm of sex, you're not ready for it. There's something blocking and you need to go get the help that you need, or you will never have a healthy sex life, and you'll never have to have healthy sex life with yourself, and you'll never have it with your partner, and your partner will never be pleased with you. You'll never be pleased with your partner. Nobody can please somebody who hasn't fixed themselves, who hasn't worked on themselves. Like, I remember when I was young, I used to, because I've always been into having conversations, because for me, it kind of evolved. Like, I realized that I ain't really have game, like slick lines and all that stuff there. So conversation was my thing. And so learning to have conversations with women about sex. And so many women who haven't had orgasms and haven't had this, you ask them, well, what you like? I don't know. I remember in middle school and high school, even in college, you ask a girl, well, what you like in sex? From the back, that's it. That's the number one answer. What you like about sex nowadays is, you know, eating pussy, eating ass too, but it's like that's it, like just from the back and getting licked. Like, there's more to sex than that. So some women who don't even know, hey, you might need to turn me on. You might need to take time, foreplay, turn me on like this. It's a lot of people who just don't know their bodies. It's men and women who just have no idea what turns them on. And in turn, they cannot have conversations with their partners because they're not comfortable with their own sexuality by themselves. We have to get to a point to where we are more comfortable with who we are sexually. Like bent. I'm skinny as I ain't skinny as hell, but I'm slim. You can if I take my shirt off, you can tell I have seen the gym. But at the same time, not the biggest cat. Comfortable with my meat size, everything like that. You got to be good with you. You got to be good with you, but you have to take the time to work on yourself. And I always tell people, if your self-esteem isn't together, stop having sex and get your self-esteem together. Get your mental together. Get your physical and your emotional self together before you have sex, because you will never have pleasurable sex if you're not together. If you're constantly trying to pick up the pieces of yourself, your sex life is going to suffer. Point blank, period.
Yeah.
I think it's very important for a foundation to be set. I think it's very important for the conversation that we just had to have been had, because we can't just get into how to have tough conversations if we don't talk about how we got to the point to where it's tough to have conversations. Mm-hmm. What caused this shit? We just dealt with the cause. So next week when we come back, we're actually going to literally get into ways to have the tough conversations with your partner. But you know, we talk and we got to set foundations and shit. So that's your man Cliffhanger, all up in it like a wee dinner. Hey man. Hey, going through Facebook, somebody posted or shared a post, Silk Sonic bringing back that Harry Coochie music.
Who?
Silk Sonic, Anderson Paak, and Bruno Mars.
Oh.
They talking about that, bringing back that Harry Coochie. I was like, yeah, shout out to all the ladies with Harry Coochies.
Hey, I bangs with Harry Coochies. And I like that album. I ain't even gonna front. I didn't listen to that album about 30 times.
Didn't I tell you with jamming? I told you with jamming, man. Hey, Sip Sonic doing their thing, man. Shout out to Boosie Collins, Thundercat, everybody that had on there. Shout out to all the ladies once again with the Harry Coochies too.
That Smoking Out the Window, Jones, is probably my favorite, though. And it's the video with it, too.
Mine is The Fly. It's the that's what it is. The Fly Is Me.
That was these. I think that was one of my boys' favorite, because we listened to the album together. It's only 30 minutes, so.
Yeah, it ain't long. It's a little EP.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
But I fell in love with the video for Smoking Out the Window when Anderson Paak said I might die, and then you know, he laying down dead in the video. I was like, yo, that's classic right there.
Hey,
like,
but did you see the Manosphere Highlight Daily video about Smoking Out the Window?
Yeah, actually, that's what put me onto the video. I didn't see the whole thing. I just saw, oh, they got a video for this song, and I went and watched the video. I didn't see the whole Manosphere Highlight.
They actually got a video for a couple of those songs on YouTube.
I'm about to go check. I know they got a video for you know, the one that blew up, Leave the Door Open.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I
was looking at some goddamn Smoking Out the Window. Got and this is the latest video to come out. It had more views than Leave the Door Open.
Yeah, I think because that song is just, it's got a great sound, the visual is nice, and then the song is just funny. Like, the way they did the video is just, like, Anderson Paak is hilarious to me.
Yeah, he is.
So,
I like the duo of them two cats, man.
Yeah, and the funny part about that video to me is going through the comments, people was like, Bruno Mars used to be a nice guy. Who hurt him? And I find those comments so fucking funny.
This is music, man.
Stop. Right. That's why it's hilarious to me. I be like, y'all really confusing artistry with real life.
I mean, like, they might not even wrote them songs.
I don't know whoever wrote Smoking Out the Window is fucking legend, because that song, even the lyrics, are hilarious, bro. The lyrics are hilarious.
This bitch got me paying the rent.
Right. He said, spending about $35,000-$45,000 up in Tiffany's. Oh, no. I said, what? Got a badass kid rolling all through my crib like it's Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, wow. That shit is hilarious, bro. The whole song is just hilarious. Man.
Boys did that.
Y'all
thing,
go check that album out, but it's definitely Harry Coochie music. Like, it, if you ain't got a Harry Coochie, you can't dance to that album.
Now you, if you don't have a Harry Coochie, you need to have one. All right. Don't let society lie to you. Harry Coochies are what it is. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
yeah, get you a Harry Coochie, man. So
absolutely.
Harry Coochie music. So,
and final thing, some men like hair on their food. So I know a lot of dudes be saying, I don't like hair on my food. Some meals taste better with hair on them. Well, one meal in particular.
I dropped my bubble gum on the carpet just because, just to practice. Hey, man, that's how we do it, man.